Yes, you do hear the grands in the background. Yes, you do. And they're in prime shape. All right, there we go. Welcome, welcome, everybody. It is a beautiful sound. I was going to tell you, Diana, to go bring me something from your garden. It's growing. Oh, see, and we're barely growing ours. Absolutely, Grace. This is a perfect time. You know, that's the intent of all of this is to ask questions. And maybe during the call I'll have answered some of them, or maybe that will bring up more questions. Just waiting for it to be 2:30. All right. Recording. All right, so, cherry tomatoes. Yeah, I need to have a greenhouse like that, Diana. Inside my house just doesn't work as much as it used to. So, well, everybody, I'm so grateful that you made it here. I know some of you, the timings weren't exactly right on the ERC newsletters for those of you in ERC. We did send out, once I realized what was going on, I got an email to go out, and it probably will be showing up any time here now. But, you know, done is better and perfect, as Dr. Rita Marie tells us. So, you guys, you did the green cleanse. Woohoo! Yeah, so true, Sarah. Nothing like garden meters. It's like liquid sunshine. I do the same thing with the cherry trees. My daughter and I often go out to the cherry trees. I have a friend who has a lot of cherry trees, and nobody wants, she can't even give them away because people don't want to take the time to pit the cherries. And so my daughter and I go out, and it'll probably be another month or two before we do that. And then we'll spend about a day picking cherries and another day pitting them, and we'll freeze them. And during the winter time, it's just like eating summer. It's just amazing. And that's the wonderful thing about growing your own food. You can taste the sunshine in it. And you know, this is the thing with the green cleanse is that you have this opportunity to rest your body with these good foods. And you can do the green cleanse as at any particular time. Yeah, cherries. You know, my salivary glands, they're just going big time here. And, you know, and so you guys have gone through this, and however you went through it, you've participated, and know that you can do this again at any time. You don't need the group to do it, although it's nice having that group presence, but this is something you can do anytime you want to. You can do any level, use any of the recipes. Just listen to your body. If your body needs that little bit of a staycation and rest, this is a great way to do it. Yep, perfect time of year for green cleanse. It was interesting that we started it with a new moon and we ended it with a full moon. And the new moon started with making intentions, and the full moon was about releasing and letting it go. So, this was a great time to do that. And and use the produce and anything that you can find in your area to do it in. And so, as the slide says, we're talking about the emotional eating, the social eating gremlins, and the idea is that you can live in your body. And we're going to be talking about some of that. But first, we have the medical disclaimer. The information in this presentation is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional and is not intended as medical advice. It is intended as a sharing of knowledge and information from the research and experience of Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, drritamarie.com, and the experts who have contributed. We encourage you to make your own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. This presentation is provided for informational purposes only, and no guarantees, promises, representations, or warranties of any kind regarding specific or general benefits have been or will be made by Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, her affiliates, or their officers, principals, representatives, agents, or employees. Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo is not responsible for and shall have no liability for any success or failure, acts and or omissions, the appropriateness of the participant's decisions, or the use of or reliance on this information. Whew! Okay, got that said. So, let's talk a little bit about what we do next. Yeah, Sarah, those fresh cherries are great. Yeah, we're getting ready for a storm here as well. We've been having storms off and on. And so you've gone through, we had the first week where we prepared, and then last week was what we called the cleanse week, and now we're transitioning out. We're going to see what happens. We're going to check in with ourselves. How did we feel? And so, in case you didn't realize it, you have in your materials, in the green cleanse menu planner, a post-cleanse menu plan. And just like the cleanse week itself and the pre-cleanse week, you have some that are where you get to pick your own recipes or some where they have more instructions. So, here. So this is what day one would look like in the meal plan example. So you'll notice that it looks a little bit like some of the others. It's nice to have this to kind of jump off on and try to include things back in with it. And but by all means, you can definitely keep on. I did this one summer, Diana. I just continued to do 3 week rotations. I did pre-cleanse week, cleanse, post-cleanse week. The next week, pre-cleanse week, cleanse, post-cleanse. I just kept doing these 3 week rotations. That's what I did, but we're going to talk a little bit more about that. So know that there are pre-cleanse and post-cleanse. There's pre-cleanse, cleanse, and post-cleanse meal examples in your menu planner. And you also have daily diet guidelines. Okay, this will help you, kind of like Diana was saying, with a maintenance menu plan, if that's what you want to do. There are guidelines that say this is what I should eat. They have trackers, so you can track as you transition what your food reactions are. It's just a really nice kind of a food tracker journal thing to be using while you're doing this. And this is what the post-cleanse food tracker looks like. Some of you may be familiar with this if you've done the elimination diet or the food allergy testing. So once again, we have menu plans that you can use, or you can pick your own recipes. We know that there are some food guidelines you can use. There's a maintenance plan that you can use as you go on out from this. And there's a way to track what happens now that you've done this cleanse, giving your body a little bit of a breathing space and seeing as you turn things in, how is this going to work? How is this going to help me? There are some assessments. These are the same assessments that you may have done at the very beginning with the pre-cleanse. And so now you can test them out again and see if there's any changes, any differences. You'll also find a whole listing of bonus materials. You may have read some of this before in some of your other materials with Dr. Rita Marie, but they're recordings, they're ebooks, and you know, you could pick one of these each week or one each day during the transition week to listen to or to review. If you're not familiar with greens from the sea, sea vegetables, you can go through that one day and just pick out one or two recipes that you're going to try. One day you could listen to the interview with Sergei Botenko on the benefits of wild greens. So just take a look at your bonus materials and see how you can use that to elevate the cleanse and the response you've gotten. And share with your community. I would love to hear. Many of you have been on the Facebook group sharing how you're feeling, how things are going. So if you start adding in other foods this week, share with us how that feels. Let's see here. Check on the chat here. Yeah, that's what I did, is just kept rotating it. But take a look at the maintenance plan and see how that works with you. It worked for me during the summertime because it's a little warmer, so doing something more of a raw food cleanse is helpful. So I encourage you to do that. I'm gonna be right back. I smell something, and like I said, I have my grandchildren here and somebody's watching them, I think, but I'll be right back. Hold on. Okay. Yeah, raw is definitely so much easier now than in the winter. Yep, Facebook is always open for you. So definitely try that out. You know, cherries are one of those things that you want to make sure works for you. They work for me. Part of it for me is it actually, I have a tendency towards things like anemia. And so the cherries actually help me with that. It's not like I gorge myself on them, but, and I don't add added sugars. So, oh, that's really interesting. It won't print Facebook. That's the word Facebook. That's interesting. So, you know, if you're going to do some cherries, find out, how you do with it. You know, buy a little bit first. But one thing that's interesting is that cherries are considered amongst the lowest glycemic index, if you're going to follow that. I know Dr. Rita Marie doesn't always adhere to the glycemic index or the glycemic load, but it is interesting. So the glycemic index is 22, and the glycemic load is 3. So, that's from some of the information that I've heard. Again, find out how your particular body responds to it before you start overdoing it on cherries. Exactly. That's exactly right, Grace. Everyone reacts differently with our blood sugar levels to different foods. And it has to do with our digestion, our stress level, things like that. So It could very well be that as you continue to do a green cleanse and take some of that load off of your body at this time of year, that it cleans out your digestion a bit, kind of helps balance it so that you can learn to eat foods that you couldn't before. So that's always a nice, hopeful thing to hear. So before I move on, I want to make sure, does everybody understand what's going on in terms of what materials you have and some next steps? Yeah, I'm right there with you, Diana. So I tend to have an indoor garden, but even because I have an old drafty farmhouse, that still doesn't get quite as warm, so it is an adventure. And yep, I'm right there with you. So we do the best we can, right? All right, so we're gonna talk a little bit here. We're celebrating this, we are new yous, whether you did any type of the cleanse or not. Our body is always regenerating itself. And so as you feed it this good food, as you take some of that load off of it, the cells that are regenerated are going to be more functional for you. So you might feel your body is a little lighter, maybe your tummy's a little flatter, you have great energy, your mind's a little clearer. And so it's like, yes, we're talking here. Can I just keep this up? You know, can this really last? And so we're going to talk a little bit about that because it is summer after all, right? There are holidays in the summer and beyond, the holidays. So that generally tends to be Thanksgiving and Christmas. But we also have things like the 4th of July. Maybe you have a birthday or somebody else's birthday or some type of celebration like that. I don't know about you, but in my neck of the woods, we have, each of the towns around us has a weekend. It's like, so I live in the town of Sway City, and not this weekend, the following weekend, we have Sway City Fun Days. And both Armstrong and Bancroft, their big time is the 4th of July. And there's all around us, we have these little town celebrations, and they usually have vendors and things, and pretty sure they don't have green smoothie or salad vendors there. You may go on vacation, and it's like, oh, I just want to relax on my vacation and eat some of those special things when we go to that special place. There's all sorts of things, that emotions that might come up for why you might want to veer off course. Sometimes people say I fell off the wagon. I say that I tried a different wagon for a while to see if that wagon worked. And when it doesn't, then I jump back onto the wagon that seemed to be working. But it's really good to be mindful as you make choices that don't necessarily feel good for your body, and just have that conversation with yourself about what you're feeling. And so these are the gremlins that can threaten your health, this emotional eating, which usually involves something social. And maybe you're busy, but you're beyond busy. You're anxious and worried with the busyness. And that can create a lack of focus because you're not focused on what you love or what you even really like. So, you're an emotional eater if you experience an uncontrollable urge to eat even when you're not hungry, right? How many of us have done that? You know you're an emotional eater if you eat foods that soothe an emotional wound without regard to actual nourishment, right? I was reading something about trees the other day, and trees get wounds on their bark, and it takes a long time. I think they have at most 3 years, that if their bark isn't, if that bark area isn't healed, it just becomes a permanent part of them. And I thought that was really interesting in terms of this emotional eating part and the wounds that we might have. And so again, it's really important to understand, to not put off why we're going to take time to look at ourselves, look at the wounds that come up during certain times in our life. You know you're an emotional eater if you eat for entertainment. It's like, oh, here, you know, it's Friday, let's go eat pizza. It's Saturday, let's go eat pizza. It's not just, you can have fun with your food, but that's not the only reason that we eat. We eat because the food is good for us. It's almost like the condiment to the social occasion. And so it's good to remember the place it has. We don't give it more of a value than it really should have. Let's see, what are we talking about here? A green drink near the Eye on the Thames in London? Huh. I've never been there. You know, I have talked about having it at little celebration, just a little green smoothie stand, or just a smoothie stand, and see what would happen. But nobody seems really interested. That's interesting that you say that, Claudia, that you say you're 100% emotional eater. I still work with and on my, you know, and these are all great awarenesses. These are great awarenesses that you have about the choices we make, because they are choices, and you can make new empowering choices for your life. Yeah. When you're by yourself, okay, there you go, Claudia, some really great awareness. Yeah. That aren't on the diet. Well, see, it's a food plan. You know it's out of control when you find yourself so distraught, frustrated, upset, angry, or hurt that you just want it to stop. So you reach for the candy bar, the ice cream, the chocolate chip cookies, or whatever happens to be closest at the moment. And that's where it's time to take that breath. Right? It's that time to say, what's going on? And this may be what it's a part of. Okay, it's just an innocent thing. Oh, you're so sad. Here, have a lollipop. You know, how many of us went to the doctor for vaccinations and it hurt? And so what do you get? You got a lollipop, a sucker. I think now they just give you really, I don't know, I never vaccinated my kids, but from what I've heard, they just give you funky colored Band-Aids. Well, and it's good to not have those triggers around, Claudia. You're absolutely right. Just don't have them around, but we can only control so much. And you want to be aware, so when you are someplace else, you're just aware of what's going on. So here are some of the toxic emotions that can lead to emotional eating. Sadness, hate, shame, jealousy, hopelessness, self-righteousness, worry, greed, anger, guilt, fear, I would add in fear, you know, that sense of worth that we carry, or however we view ourselves. And so the more aware you are, they have candy with your chemotherapy? Oh my goodness gracious, Martha. But it's really good to be aware of the emotions. that might come up as food choices come up. It may be just exhaustion. I'm just too tired right now to think about, you know, this idea that you might have in your brain that you have to make all this food, and so it just leads to a sense of exhaustion. And so however you're feeling, just be aware of it. We were meant to live in a beautiful state. And so if you find yourself living in a suffering state, then you know this is probably not the truth. And look for the truth of the beautiful state. And make choices to take you towards that beautiful state. So we're going to reprogram the pattern. You've identified the triggers, and then it's kind of like role-playing. It's like, okay, I know I'm going to be going out to such and such a place or to so-and-so's house, and they are going to have these types of foods. So what can I do to further support my body? It's we want to look at having our thought process not be... or have it be empowering so that we're not making choices that are just keeping us from something, but they're truly nourishing and empowering you. So you establish strategies for handling whatever the situation might bring. And as you do this, it creates new neural pathways in your brain, even if you're not actually doing it. So just role-playing it will start to create these pathways, these neurotransmitters in your brain. And so just keep repeating that as you review your calendar for the week or things that you think might come up. Go through that process, that role-play, and feel how that feels to make that empowering decision. I'm just reviewing here. Yeah, just grab something. And so again, no matter what the situation is, you know, even in your own house, just feel like how it would feel to make an empowering decision. Yeah, these slides will be in the call recording, Claudia. And that's great, Claudia. You're giving your, you know, you've noticed the nausea, and you're saying, okay, what is it that I could do? Could you even do some ginger tea? Yeah, ginger tea might be helpful. Just to calm things down. All right. So, again, we're identifying the triggers. If you are aware that certain occasions or certain places are triggers for you, list the foods that you would find yourself going to. So, like Sarah was talking about, the chips were cracked to her. Okay, so then she would write that down and, you know, so if the chips are a trigger for you, if a candy bar or soda or mashed potatoes or whatever the food is that's a trigger to you, that when you see it, it's like you can feel your brain lighting up, write that down. And know that there's an emotional component that kind of drives that addictive quality to it. And explore what is going on that created that. So I mentioned mashed potatoes. Maybe there were stressful things happen and you'd go home and your mom would make mashed potatoes for dinner. And so that soothes you. So just look at that and see where there's a connection between the trigger and an emotional event. Okay. So, yeah, recall what prompted your most recent emotional eating episode. Was it fear, frustration, anger, despair, insecurity, loneliness? Was it feeling like you're just not good enough? Or did someone say something that made you feel like a small child who couldn't do anything right? Just really be with that, and how did that feel? And this is also when it's a really great time to journal. So, the sad truth about emotional eating. Food is really a distraction. Food is a wonderful thing. It can bring us a sense of pleasure and joy, but it shouldn't be the only thing. It should be, as I said, the condiment to the real joy that we have that comes from within. And so, if you find that you're eating food as a distraction, what happens is as soon as you finish eating, that hurt is still there. That emotion, that feeling is still there, and it will come back. And then because you ate this food, there's going to be attached to that another load of baggage, which is guilt or remorse or maybe some shame that you gave into that. And so what does that do? It adds to your original upset. You caved. You're not strong enough. And so you told yourself that you weren't going to do it, and then you criticized yourself some more because you did it. You caved. And so when you're in the middle of one of these emotional eating episodes, it really, the logic doesn't apply because you're not in your brain, you're in your body feeling that. And so what we want to do is get out of that lizard brain. If you have been a part of Dr. Rita Ray's Inspired Health Vision System at any point in time, you've heard her talk about the portable anchor system. And what that does is it gets you to a place where you take a breath. So I'll just take a breath right now. You can put your hands on your belly. Just feel your belly expanding with your breath. Your ribs expand with your breath. And then you contract and press. And then you bring in new air. And then you contract. And if you do that, you feel things just soften a little bit. You relax a bit more. And your relaxed brain will make choices for you that are based on you being empowered. You can do some comparison, but it isn't comparing you with somebody else. It's that process of a choice. Lizards can't compare and contrast, but you as a human being have the ability to do that level of contrasting your choices. So the choice you make is the best for you. So what we're going to be doing is creating new neural pathways in your brain. You want to do something just a little different. And it's much like I'm sure many of you have heard about this where we're, because of where I live, it gets icy and snowy and my car might be stuck in a rut. And you have to go back and forth and back and forth to get yourself out of it. But at the same time, you shift the steering column so that it takes you out of that rut. You have to do something just a little different Because if you do what got you in that rut in the first place, guess what? You'll stay in the rut. Kind of like Einstein's definition of insanity, always doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So if you pause and you come to understand your triggers and the emotions that are coming up with you, think about how do you want to feel? How do you want to feel in this body that is eating all these wonderful foods and having energy and movement and flowing? How does that feel? Or how do you think it feels? Let's get close to it. And so to do that, you have to do something a little different. You have to pause just long enough to start a dialogue with yourself, long enough to take a breath and go, what is it you really want? Is this taking me there? And ask yourself questions that are honest to you. It doesn't mean be unkind, but it does ask you to be open and receptive, to be in conversation with yourself. And at the first sign, at that first sign of any danger that you might feel, then listen to that. So here are some comforting actions that you can use instead of food. You can take a bath with Epsom salts and lavender oil. Listen to some really nice meditative music. They have some great, like Pandora and YouTube, they have some great spa channels. I like to just listen to that. Or maybe you'd rather listen to an inspirational speaker while you're soaking in this wonderful hot tub. Spend some time calling a friend, somebody you know that you can truly share your heart with, that you can be honest and they'll be gently honest with you as well. But they'll uplift you. Journaling is amazing. It's a way for you to express and release your feelings. I would even suggest that after you've done something like this, you can either shred it, you can burn it, if you don't want to ever revisit it again. But it's getting what I call that emotional vomit out. Do you have any hobbies? I love to knit. I love to play the piano. I'm actually teaching one of my granddaughters right now. I took piano for 12 years, and it's a great emotional release for me. We talked about breathing. Hold on a second. There we go. So grandma's teaching grandchildren about how to express and release your feelings in a quiet way and breathe. And it's true. You know, if you focus on your breathing and feeling that breath in your body, you're going to notice your emotions a little bit better. And express gratitude to yourself, especially for doing this, for taking that time. And as you're doing that, as you're taking this time to be focused on yourself, on your breathing, and emotions come up, just see that in your mind's eye, this place that's brought up. Do you have a place, so when I'm, you know, you often hear Dr. Rosemary talking about going to the beach, I go to the mountains, and I see myself at this place. It's just a nice little cottage type place in the woods and the forest, and there's a stream and there's a metal over in one area of it, and that's where I visualize, and I can feel it in my body, just a sense of peace that comes there. Let's see what we have here. Yeah, putting your fingertips on your forehead while breathing deeply 5 times helps you stop your lizard brain. Yeah, and you can make a new choice. The middle of next month, we finally were able to get some time for the tapping expert. So watch for that. You can get Slippery Elm from Mountain Rose Herbs, Claudia. Yeah. So here's an emotional eating worksheet. Spend some time in quiet contemplation and then fill in all the blanks. If you're able to be outside in nature, I highly encourage you to do that. You're going to identify the feelings, circumstances, or problems that trigger you to eat emotionally. Know that this can be ever-changing, much like when you do any balancing in your body changes, and your emotions are very similar. So after you've made this list where you've identified circumstances or things that seem to trigger this emotional eating for you, name the foods that you generally eat as a result. Do you eat ice cream or cookies or things like that? How do you feel physically after eating these foods? I go to the movies and I walk in and I smell this popcorn and I just want to have popcorn, but I also know that I'm not going to feel real great afterwards. So I generally don't eat it. What does eating these foods keep you from achieving in the long term? You know, you've heard Dr. Rita Marie share the sentiment from one of our program members. You know, nothing tastes as good as in the short term as it does knowing how it, I forget the real way it goes, but the idea is that it tastes better because you know it's really helping you. Does eating these foods solve the problem that triggered your emotional eating? To me, that's just like seals the deal. It's like, oh, yeah, then there's that. So what can you do instead to bring awareness to that negative emotion and to soothe it? Look at that emotion as this part of you that just wants a hug, that small child within you that just wants somebody to say, I see you. We're okay. We're safe. You may have heard me talk about the butterfly hug. That's where you cross your arms and you just kind of tap your hands like butterfly wings, one rotating front and back, or up and down. As a result of doing the alternate activity, how do you think you feel? So just things to ponder. And this is a really good exercise to just always have at the ready when the trigger comes up. So here's the personal emotional eating strategy statement. When I feel whatever the emotion is, it drives me to eat. So when I feel worthless, it drives me to eat chocolate ice cream. I usually end up feeling sad, and I have the symptoms of being all clogged up, which keeps me from achieving mental clarity and energy. So instead of reaching for the ice cream, I can take a walk, and as a result, I will feel more energized. So that's just kind of an example. And then we have social eating strategies. So you can eat before you go out. You can bring your own food along. Before you go there, connect with your vision. This is really important because look at that social event to see how does that pertain to you? Does that take you towards where you want to go? Now, I'm not saying to avoid the birthday parties or family gatherings, but look at how that event is going to help you. And then envision yourself staying true to you. Carry a little card with your emotional eating strategy. And then learn the language of nonviolent communication to let your needs be known. There's actually some really great websites on there on nonviolent communication. I know I've posted a few of them on my personal Facebook page. So this is really helpful. I don't know if any of you have read Dr. Rita Marie's Unstoppable Health book, but that's talked about a lot in there. And there's some good resources that you can get. So, and of course, we're busy. So here's some strategies for busy people. Prepare, 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 prepare. Prepare in advance during any time off you might have, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes. Squeeze a bunch of lemons if you need to, or whatever it is you can do. Cut up some veggies. You can actually, there's so many things out there that are ready-made meals, or, was it Daily Harvest, I think, has the flash frozen smoothies. You can get the coconut wraps. There's just so many things out there that we can use now. Always carry food or green drinks with you. You can carry the green powders. I often will have a little container with some dressing in there, or just an avocado, something like that. You can carry individual serving sizes of protein powder or a green powder. Keep a bag of seeds or nuts in your whatever you carry, a purse, backpack, whatever. The best fast food is the grocery store. Again, avocados, cherry tomatoes, pre-cut veggies. They actually carry a lot of those in many stores these days. And then, it all starts with a vision. Create your vision. Connect with your vision. Fall in love with your vision. If you do not love your vision, then I encourage you to rethink it, because sometimes we create a vision we think we should have. So if you do not have the connection or in love with that vision, find the vision you do, and then remember it every single day. I have mine posted in front of me, and it says, I can live a life with flow and grace, resting in the knowledge that I am fully supported and all I need will be provided. And I look at that, it's like right in my field of vision. So I'm seeing that all the time. And that reticular activating system in between my ears works with me to help me create that. So I hope this has been helpful. Let's see here. Yeah, that's it, Grace. Nothing tastes as good as healthy feels. Yep. It's so true. But it's really important that we understand who we are. I recently shared that I don't think we need fixing. I think we need loving. And part of that is getting to know and understand who you are. I'm so grateful that this has been helpful to you, Diana. Grace, I know you said you had some questions. So you can either raise your hand. Let's see, I don't think anybody's on the phone. So if you're on a web call, just click on the raise hand function below the slide area. Okay. And I'll check to see if anybody wrote any questions into the question and answer. Nope. Okay, here we go. Hey, Grace.
Hi, Lynn.
How are you? So good to hear you.
I am very, very well. My question is, my mother and I both did the omega-3 test through AlgaeCal, it's a blood test, you send it in.
She
came back at 4.2 and I came back at 3.27. They say the desirable is 8.12%. And the question is, doing walnuts and omega, you know, chia, flax, and then the algae omegas that Rita Marie has mentioned. How fast is that going to work? And
sure.
I actually had a little problem the other day, and I had a spontaneous rupture of my eardrum.
Oh.
And it's not, you know, it's not like critical 911, but I also had that when I got sick. And when I got sick, my omegas were really low. And I don't know if there's a connection. I couldn't find anything out about it on the internet. But I want to ramp up because I'm not interested in tissue failure.
Right. And so this was just measuring just omega-3 in general, or?
Right.
I wasn't overly familiar.
Okay. Yeah, the omega-3 level in the blood.
Okay, because I'm familiar with the blood spot fatty acid test, so I'm taking a look real here to see if I can get a example of their results.
It's called Omega Quant, I think is their company name.
Omega Quant?
Yeah. Let me see. I'll bring up the email here.
Yeah. Okay, here.
Omega Quant. And it's an omega-3 index, the basic report.
I'm looking at her now. And yours was 4.2?
No, that was my mother's. Mine was 3.27.
3.27. And this is, okay, so this is all they do. Sorry, I'm just looking at something here. So what did they tell you in their report, just out of curiosity?
The report says, it just shows a graph. And the graph goes from, it's loading, let's see, 2% all the way to 12. And they don't really tell you anything, you know, they're not in the advice business.
Right.
But they're just giving the index. My index is 3.27. So.
And the low end is 2, they're saying, right?
Right.
Okay.
And they give a thing about recent literature increasing mm-hmm. consumption of polyunsaturated fats, blah, blah, blah. But, and they're recommending up to 3,000 milligrams a day. So the question is are we going to be able to get that taking flax, chia, walnuts, and the algae supplement?
Right. So there's a couple of things on hand here. One is, first of all, what's your digestion like? What is your stomach acid like? Because you want to make sure that you can break down things. And so, yeah, so making sure you're doing, like, your lemon water, apple cider vinegar water, taking your digestive enzymes, digestive bitters, that type of thing. And are you're doing that, what kind of algae oil are you taking?
Well, the one from Raw Food World.
Okay.
And then I know Rita Marie had one. I don't have that one up, but.
Yeah, she likes one called Raw Revelation. So that could be good. They don't break it down, though, into EPA or DHA, right?
The Raw Food World does.
So this test, though, that you have?
Oh, no. No, they don't.
Great. Okay. Because it would be good to know where you stand, because, you know, then you would know, should I have more EPA? Do I need more DHA? Because the algae oils are, they tend to, even though like the Raw Revelation, what's it called? Super 3. Even though it says it has, looking at the amount it has in here. Yeah, they can no longer do a label claim for EPA, even though there is still some present. So it's making sure that you're getting some EPA. Do you do any microalgaes, like spirulina, things like that?
I have algae in my green drink in the morning with the green super blend and broccoli sprout powder.
Okay, because that can help with that. There we go. Let's see.
And I was taking DHEA, and when I started the cleanse, I stopped.
DHEA or DHA?
No, DHA. Let me see, just a second. DHEA, 5 milligrams.
Okay, so DHA is different than DHEA. DHA is an omega-3. DHEA is a hormone. So plants that grow in cold climates are relatively more concentrated in omega-3s. So think of cold climate nuts and seeds. Somebody once told me that omega-3 fatty acids are sometimes compared with antifreeze since they keep blood relatively thin, especially in cold weather. And then also think, where do the animals, because everybody's like, well, you have to have, you know, fish oil or something like that in order to get it, but where did they get their EPA and DHA? So that's why Dr. Rita Marie likes to go to the algae oil. Flax is, to me, a really good one to use. But the thing with flax is the omega-3 it has is called ALA or alpha-linolenic acid.
Yes.
And so that's the form of omega-3 that you're going to get from flax seed, chia seed, hemp seed, pumpkin seed, walnuts, your dark green vegetables, your cereal grasses like the wheat and barley grass. They have that ALA, that alpha-linolenic acid. And it's because all green chlorophyll foods have alpha-linolenic acid in their chloroplasts. So that's the thing to consider. Interestingly enough, soybeans actually have some omega-3 in them. Mung beans do. Mung bean sprouts, soybean sprouts. You're just keep eating those green leafy vegetables. You know, cabbage is actually can be helpful. Chlorella.
Does it matter if the flax is sprouted or not?
It needs to be soaked because it's a mucilaginous. So if you don't have it be soaked, then it's your body's not going to digest it as well.
I see.
So, like the chia seed, you know, you've heard Dr. Reimer talk about chia seed gel. So
yes.
you do need to soak flax seed as well.
Okay.
It does
what
not
about,
gel, but yeah.
What about if it's ground? Does that change it?
I still soak it because, again, if it still has that property of pulling water out, it may not do it as much if it's ground, but I personally still like to soak it or make sure that whatever I consume has a lot of water.
Okay.
So those are my two suggestions. First, make sure you've got some good stomach acid in there so you can break things down. And, just be mindful and keep including all these foods that are good omega-3s. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Great questions. Anybody else? Any other questions from anybody else? Well, I hope everybody is feeling good about what they've done. You know, I personally feel that every one of you is perfect, just the way you are at this moment in time. Now, that doesn't give you carte blanche to not do anything else, but it does let you know that every perfect action you take from here is perfectly for you. So embrace that. See how that feels to know that every action they take, I mean, just like wrap your arms around yourself and like feel every action I take for myself is perfect for me. Oh, it's very normal. At least I can say for me, I want to eat on the last day of the cleanse. Yeah, it's like we've told ourselves, okay, if you can hold out until this day, then you get to start eating. And boy, howdy, I'm right there. So I can tell you, I'm not sure if it's normal or not, but that's how I felt. So I can share that with you. How was everybody feeling as they went through this cleanse? Yeah, and chew that salad. Savor every bit of it. All the delicious goodness, and thank it. Thank that salad for being there and providing you with nutrition. And chewing it is the best way to do it. Because, you know, when we chew, we are also activating all those digestive juices in there as well. Oh, yeah. The tastes of each ingredient were phenomenal. Yeah, beautiful. So pat yourself on the back today. You did this, and you can do it again. Feel hungry, but you're not hungry. That's that gorilla network, right? But just tune in as you feel that, you know, where is that hunger? Are you feeling it in your stomach, in your throat? You know, do you have that salivary gland feeling? Is it just in your brain? Where is that hunger living? What's it telling you? Are you truly hungry? I have offered in previous calls before, I don't think most of the people in this country really know what hunger is about. And, I mean, there are people in this country that do go hungry, without a doubt. But so many times we're like, oh, man, I'm starving. We really don't understand what starving is. And so make friends with this feeling of hunger. There you go. Yeah, Sarah, keep us posted on doing this and give yourself permission to do what feels right. Give yourself permission to do the 3-week rotation or give yourself permission to play with it, however it feels and looks to you. Yeah, those green drinks are amazing. I could almost not stand to have a green drink. So that means you like them? I think you're saying you like those green drinks, Grace. Yeah. Yeah, play with this food. It is there to nourish you and nurture you. It is not there to emotionally feed you, but there is a nurturing quality to it. Yeah, my body has been craving them as well. So I totally get that. Oh, hey, Delaine. Oh, hey, Vaughn. You do that, Vaughn. You hit that reset button. You can do this. We were just talking about how we can do this. Some of us are looking at doing it in 3-week rotations throughout the summer. Oh, I'm so sorry, Vaughn. Hey, Sandra. I am so sorry that there was... So for the 3-week rotations, just... let's see here. I'm just looking at the email to see 230, 130, 233. Oh, yeah, you're right. So that should have been 1230, 130, 230, 330. My goodness, there have been some issues here, aren't we? I really totally apologize. So were you, how are you doing the 3-week rotation, Violaine, is basically where, so we just are finishing up this week with the 3rd week of the rotation. So then that means next week you would start with the pre-cleanse, week 1. And then you do the cleanse week and then the post-cleanse week. And you just keep doing that rotation. Yeah, it's Monday. Well, at least the date was right. I am so sorry. But I'm grateful that you guys came on. And so as you do the cleanse, Sandra, and you review the materials, is it every single nightshade that has that effect? So maybe what you would like to do is an elimination diet and figure out which foods work really well for you. You can work with Isabel on this as well. You know, Isabel obviously would be a really good resource for you on this. And find out which foods you can use to do a green cleanse. You can do a green cleanse with greens that don't have nightshades, like parsley and cilantro. There's so many herbs out there that are green. There's so many other greens that aren't nightshades. Let's see, I'm looking at my list. So, are you talking nightshades or oxalates? I just realized, because I'm looking at nightshades, and I'm like, wait, nightshades don't have, it's oxalates that tend to be more problematic with, I have tomato and bell pepper, so that was from your Viome test, right? Have you checked, and you've tested it, and you don't do well with tomatoes or bell peppers. So you can definitely keep tomatoes and bell peppers out of a green cleanse. So it's sounding like you can eat greens, just not tomatoes and bell peppers. Yeah. I will be honest, I don't totally understand the Viome test and how you can get a virus that affects a plant. Having a sensitivity to that, but so again, you know, so you're talking tomatoes and peppers and garlic and peas, but you still should be able to eat some greens. And how do you do with cucumbers or celery or lemons and some of those other things? So those are just some things to consider as you make it up. So think about what you can eat, expand into that, and those are the things you're going to have during your green cleanse time, and how you feel. Track how you feel while you're doing it. Yeah. And so then it's where you track what you had, and then, but you should be able to eat the greens, the leafy greens, because the leafy greens are not nightshades. Generally, the leafy greens tend to be oxalates. So, So take a look at that to see, where did you, yeah. You know, take a look at what you were eating, how you made it. And were you doing them one at a time? So you did escarole and turnip greens. Did you do that separately or did you do them together? Can you do things like spinach? Can you do things like those parsley and cilantro? Romaine. You know, can you do microgreens? You know, maybe there's something as the food grows up that it has another component to it. So maybe try sprouts or microgreens. Okay, so you are sensitive to oxalates. You had a green smoothie. Okay, so it was good. So when you say it was good, no nausea, okay. And so what was in that smoothie? But again, look at sprouts, look at microgreens. I'm trying to think of some, can you do cabbage? How about watercress? I think we talked about romaine. Can you do chard? Arugula, endive, bok choy. Those are just some other greens that are coming to my brain. Cucumber soup. So what were the greens that you did? So was there anything else going on that this time it was hard? That was there some stressor happening? Did you sleep well the night before? Was any movement or exercise different? Did you take supplements at a different time? So you're very busy and you were constipated. So it could be, how do you do with fasting? Maybe you need a day of just water. Because sometimes our system just needs a break. So we talked about doing, right, so the supplement thing is a part of it, and you're leaving town on Wednesday, so there's a little bit of stress. So, you know, maybe between now and when you leave, you just do a water fast to give your body a chance to rest. Because I think you're going to be gone for, like, what, a couple weeks? You know, yeah, look at the timing of your supplements. Yeah, I just feel heavy. Clogged up. Well, so what they do is they support your body to, what the milk thistle and the NAC do is they help support the body to do its job. It's not that they themselves are doing it. It's, like you say, it's helping your body. It's supporting your body to do what it's supposed to do, which is why, like with milk thistle, you'll often see in our slides for throughout the green cleanse, when we had the slide for all the herbs, we talked about milk thistle and other herbs that you can take. So after lunch you felt better. Yeah. Well, definitely make sure that you're drinking enough water. And again, like with Claudia, maybe have a little ginger tea. And I'll go back to the beginning with some of the slides, just for those who came in at a different time. And so I want you to know that there is a post-cleanse menu plan in your green cleanse materials, and it has suggested ideas for menus. As you know, Dr. Rita Marie, she's not saying you have to have this, but it's just a jumping off point. And there's something called daily diet guidelines, and those are the recommended foods that can help you now that you've gone through the cleanse itself. And there's also a maintenance menu plan that you can play around with. This is what the maintenance menu plan looks like. You can see it's just template. It doesn't say this is exactly what you have to have, but it gives you an idea as you build your menu plans, or making sure you have food on hand. You have this as a template. And then a place to track your food reactions, because now your body has gone through a cleanse and now you're going to start adding foods in, and it's going to react in a certain way. It's like, okay, what does that look like? And there's what the tracker form looks like. Again, there's assessments. We did these assessments at the beginning of the cleanse, so now you can do it again to see if things are any different. And go through the list of bonus materials and maybe pick out one or two that you're going to review this week or maybe over the next month. And then sharing with us on the Facebook group. Yep. Right. Well, and that's what they do, is they help support your body to release, to break down and release those toxins. So having that understanding is going to be really important. There's definitely a few of them. You are so welcome, Grace. It's really been a pleasure to work with you guys over these last 3 weeks, and you're an inspiration to me. And the Facebook group is still there, so don't feel like we're all just going away. It's still there for you anytime you have questions. The support is what we really want more than anything else, to help each other. And so continue to post your questions. I'll continue to support you and post information I think you might need, anything to uplift you and encourage you. Yes, Grace, what's your question? Let's see. It depends upon what your glucose levels are, and how long you've been that way. Yes, I agree, Sarah. I'm just in awe of all of you. So keep track of your ketones to see, because we want to see what that is in relation to your blood sugar. The other day, blood sugar. Oh, okay. So you should be fine. That's really cool, Grace. You've got some great numbers there. You know, so just keep tracking that. Yeah. Well, I think we've talked about the state of your liver might have something to do with that as well. You know, that I think you're right. Without eating the fat, yeah, it's also the state of the liver. That's my personal feeling. I am by no means a ketone expert. I love that, Sandra. That is just what you want to be seeing, right? So it is interesting. I was just looking something up. People who are fasting or eat a much higher fat to protein ratio will look to levels in the 3.0 to 8.0 range. And so that probably is part of it. And this is what we call a therapeutic range. So you're doing some good deep healing. Like magic, that's right. So what they call optimal range is between 0.5 and 1 is what they call light nutritional ketosis. And so that's kind of a good starting point. And then optimal ketosis is between 1.0 and 3.0. And people who are looking for some more therapeutic benefits generally want to have higher ketone levels, like between 3.0 and 5.0. And they're saying people who are fasting or eat a much higher fat to protein ratio will look to levels in the 3.0 to 8.0 range. And so as you continue to check, you may find that your ketone levels go down. Yeah, water fasting. Water fasting, any type of fasting, a green juice or a green smoothie fast. Yeah. So just keep track of that and how you feel and all of that as you start to add food back into your menu plan this week. Yeah, you don't want to stay, because that's what they call a therapeutic level. So you don't want to stay in that range for too long. So that's why it's good to keep track of it. Yeah, it takes me forever to get anywhere near to ketosis. Yeah, it is a curious thing. It's always good to have wonder and curiosity about ourselves. Couple of questions here, Anya. I'm sorry it keeps going in and out. You can definitely listen to the recording. I apologize for the incorrect times in the email. You bought a vegan scone. Generally, a vegan scone still has flour, so I would not eat it today. I would definitely stay away from anything that has flour. Review the post-cleanse menu and the maintenance plan as well. And Elaine, that's right. Be curious about it. See what's best for you. We're all unique individuals, and this is all information, and we're all here to help and support each other. Well, I so appreciate everybody that's on this call and look to continue to support you throughout the week and, the next couple of weeks. There's nobody telling us we have to stop because we're all here to support each other. So if you have any other questions that come up, please, again, feel free to share on the Facebook page. I've been trying to answer some of the journals. I will admit to not having been able to get into all of them, but I will continue to do my best to try and follow up with that. So feel free to continue or to do one of your journals for the green cleanse. I'll look one more time at the Q&A. And no hands are up. All right. So as soon as this is, give it about 5 minutes after we finish, and then you can listen to the recording of this again as soon as it's rendered. And you can use just the same link that you had in your email. So, again, if any questions come up from that, just feel free. And when the call is all together, it'll be in your Green Cleanse membership dashboard on the Unstoppable Health Community site. So, have a wonderful week, and just continue to be curious and pay attention to how you're feeling as you start to add other food in. All right. Bye, everybody.